Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
We all know how exciting it is when you get funding for a program, but without strong, robust project management disciplines within that program, funding control means that you may not get the best leverage and the best outcomes that you can. The Project Management Institute generously presented at our recent conference. And today on the podcast, we have Brian Foley, Program Manager at the University of Adelaide, who's going to talk to us about those key project management principles. Brian is a project and program manager with over 20 years of experience in strategic transformational change and quality management projects. He's well qualified, having worked across the world in a range of sectors, to talk to us about ways that we can use project management principles. Brian, you recently presented and facilitated a workshop on project management thriving through change for lasting impact at our annual conference.
Yeah, thanks, Kerry.
Not all of our members were able to go, which is why we're doing these podcasts, but also, of course, to share the amazing work that the Project Management Institute does, who kindly supported this workshop. Community centres have been receiving funding for program for years, but one of the big issues is around when it comes time for acquittal along the way, the contingencies, the things that might not have been planned for. Can you talk to what you went through in that session with the group who were there? Naturally, we don't have the 45 minutes, so we need the abridged version, but just talk through some of the basic principles of project management that you think in particular are relevant for community centres when running their programs.
Absolutely. So I think the key principle that we need to remember is that if we have a finite budget, then we want to try and maximise the amount of benefit that is available as a result of that budget for the community centre and the community that it services. And so if we can plan effectively at the start of a project, then we can maximise the effectiveness of that budget and how it's applied. We need to do that by looking at the resources that are available to us, the tasks that are expected through the plan, and the timeline that you're expecting to complete those over, so that we can not have any surprises. Surprises in project management typically mean cost, and so the more we can plan, the less chance we have of overspend or needing more budget later on to then be able to complete the project that you want to complete.
And Brian, there's some core project management principles that need to be followed, or concepts that can really help people. Can you just take us through those?
Yeah, sure. So we looked at some definitions. So scope is a core principle of project management, and understanding scope is really important. It's a definition that suggests that we need to understand the work that is performed to deliver a product. And it's also important to understand what is not in scope. We have a risk in projects that we want to do everything, and so sometimes that's not possible. So we need to be very clear about what's in scope and also what's out of scope.
And Brian, that's very relevant, isn't it, for human services, because when you're dealing with humans, they're all very unique and different as compared to a product or a building, and that's often where it becomes difficult.
Absolutely. You know, if we're making Lego blocks into a house, then it's a very simple kind of process. I'm oversimplifying, but you know, it's very tangible. As soon as we have a human element in a project, then, you know, there's a lot more uncertainty that we need to work with so that we can get the best outcomes that we're aiming for.
And then time's very important.
Indeed. So the schedule for a project, we've probably all seen those pretty Gantt charts that have the, you know, the bars across them and massive and pinned on a wall. But ultimately, if we can do that in a fairly basic way. So long as we know that there are tasks when we hope to start it, when we hope to finish it by, and an estimate of how long that's going to take and how many people it's going to take to achieve it, but also the connections between those tasks. It could be that you can't start one task until a former one is finished. You know, think about the order in which you make your cup of tea. And if a personal view, you may put the milk in first or later, but you will always do it the same way. And for me, the milk goes in last. So I have to put the tea and water and the sugar in there. That's got to happen first, and then the milk goes in. So if we were looking at that in a schedule, that would be a dependency. I can't put the milk in until everything else is done.
And one of the big aspects, Brian, of course, is cost, because once you get into a project, sometimes more is expensed up front and then you don't have enough at the end. You're running out of money. And so that needs to be really carefully considered in a project plan.
Yeah, and early. So recognising that there is always a chance that the budget may change and cost overspends, cost blowouts do happen. So it's a good rule of thumb to try and build in some sort of contingency, on whether that's a 5, 10, 15% or whether it's a fixed dollar fee that you sort of include in your contingency. That's entirely up to the manager of the project. But the more planning you can do with as much rigour as you can make up front, the better chance you have of not blowing your budget out.
And Brian, of course, one of the issues as well is that people don't put in enough timeline review points, because that's when you should be monitoring this rather than waiting at the end and saying, hey, we overspent.
Yeah, I think that's certainly true. So typically a project would have several life cycle stages. So we identify a need at the start, this is that initiating, there's a high degree of uncertainty. We go through a planning process. Typically we can be very good at planning. And then we start the work, we deliver the project. But unless we're monitoring the progress of that project, then it's easy to lose track of whether it's slipping, either financially or according to your timeline, or that we're not delivering what it says we would deliver as part of the plan or part of the funding.
And a part of that, of course, is you've got all the stakeholders. Where do they figure into this, Brian? Where should we be putting them in our project plan?
The stakeholders are crucial. It's really important to consider all of the people that will either impact the project. You know, they are directly delivering, they're influencing, they are shaping the project, or those who are impacted by it. And so often those people who are impacted by it are the beneficiaries of it, that they are the ones who are receiving the service or receiving the improvement that has been made as part of that project. And so understanding that community, that landscape, is a really important part of the project.
Now, from that, when we look at what goes into a project, a lot of it is about shaping that project idea. What's some key principles we can use when we're coming up with these ideas? And when you look at brainstorming, is there a framework when we get ideas of how we should assess them?
Yeah, so I suppose there are several about a way you might prioritise those ideas. There are some governance principles that you can put in place that suggest that there may be approval committees or those kind of mechanisms. If it's a large project with a large budget, then you want to increase the amount of governance that goes along with it. If it's a relatively small project, then your governance may be quite light, in which case the principle I always work with is, if we have five projects to choose from, which is the one that's going to give us the most benefit for the least effort and is going to have the biggest impact from my community?
Now, you mentioned SMART goals framework. For those who don't know what they are, Brian, could you just step us through that?
Yeah, so a SMART goal, it's an acronym, and it stands for Specific, Measurable, Achievable, Relevant, and Time-Limited. So specific goals, if you're really clear about how you describe it, you're much more likely to achieve it. Measurable means that we can actually track our progress against that goal or that objective. We have to be realistic about it. So if it is achievable, then it's more likely to be achieved. And so that we're less likely to be so aspirational that we fail. And that's very disheartening. It's got to be relevant. So the relevance of this means that we've always got that end point in mind. We're trying to understand what the benefit is to our community. And so if our goal is actually something that's a little bit divergent from that, then it's not a relevant goal. So we need to consider that. And if we time limit our goals, we want to achieve it by a certain point on the calendar, then that gives us a little bit of a focus and a bit of a plan about how we might start to achieve that.
So, Brian, we've got these ideas. You can break them down into phases and really high-level actions. How does that work?
A kind of fundamental part of project planning is to develop, we call it a work breakdown structure. I didn't use that term in the workshop, but essentially what we're trying to do is we are trying to eat the elephant in small pieces. It's too big a job to just say we're going to go from the start to the end in one go, so we need to break it down into something that is manageable. The way that we do that is that we look at each of the tasks and then try to break that down to subtasks so that we can allocate those to the resources, the human resources that we have in the project. We can understand those in the more micro level and how they then contribute to the overall goal. But more importantly, we can then see how they all fit together, and so that we can plan the way that the brick will lay out in our road in front of us, and we can get to the journey that we're going on through a very careful planning of those tasks.
So we basically have your initiation, your planning, execution and closing. They're your key phases.
They are, yeah.
Well, one thing that always concerns me is sustainability of funded money, because someone's given it to you and there's nothing worse than it funds for a project officer, and when the money runs out, the project officer ends and so does the program. Mm-hmm. Where does sustainability figure into all of this?
Yeah, it's a really interesting topic, and there's a lot of projects that are like that. I've worked on several myself, and often projects or pieces of work can only continue as long as the money keeps coming in. It's important to consider a project as being that temporary organisation. So it is set up knowing that it is going to start, knowing that it is going to stop, and then thinking about how those benefits can continue to be received by the community after the end of the project. What that typically means is thinking about whether there is an ongoing cost of delivering the service or whether it's something that can then be self-sustaining. And if it's an ongoing cost, then what is your plan as part of the project to try and make that available to the service as it continues?
And interestingly, Brian, for a lot of community centres, they always want to offer their programs for free or for very little. But there are some people who can pay. So it's thinking about that, saying who from the public would pay for this as against then offer a bit of subsidy for others.
Yeah, I think that's really valid. You know, let's not undervalue what it is that we deliver. And so sometimes creating a service, even one that is aimed at our community, is not necessarily that it's always going to be for free. I think it's really relevant to consider that there might be some who can pay, even if it's a little bit, to try and contribute and make that program or that project more sustainable.
And Brian, in your time and you spent with the community centres in that session, is there any specific feedback that or things that were raised you think would be helpful in the podcast to talk about? Because they all have their challenges, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think the challenges were quite diverse. So I think something that is certainly worth considering is how to share the ideas, share the challenges and share the wins between the community centres. I worked for a long time in quality improvement in healthcare, and one of our principles was to steal shamelessly and share generously those ideas and the lessons that you have. So if you see it somewhere else, steal shamelessly, adapt it to suit your own setting and try to employ that where you are. If you have a success or if you have a challenge, share that with your peers in the network, because chances are somebody else has had that same challenge or that same success, and it's great to be able to share that so that others can learn.
And that collaborative learning is really important, but commonly with humans, we all like to tout what we've done and sometimes we're very protective of that. But really, with the lack of funding the sector has, it's collaboration that will help lead them to better leverage of funding.
Absolutely, because some of those lessons will definitely be about where issues or challenges with funding arose or if there is a budget blowout.
So let's talk about some of those challenges, Brian. For example, you've raised budget blowouts.
Yeah, so budget blowouts, they're pretty common in projects. There is a lot of uncertainty at the start of a project. The earlier you are, the less you know, and it's only through continually planning. And once you have your plan, not just sticking to it as a fixed document, you need to be continually monitoring what's happening within your project and referring back to your plan so that you're staying in scope, you know, within what you're trying to achieve, but you need to be kind of constantly monitoring what that budget's looking like. I think one of the biggest causes of budget blowout is by starting to do things that are not in your plan. In other words, you deviate from your scope. Typically, if you have a quote for a service, whether that's a product or a building or whatever it is, if you have a firm quote, it's not likely to change too much unless there are some real factors that affect it, and they may be a little bit more unusual. But if you wander off your scope, then certainly the cost can blow out significantly.
And also the funder may not pay for that. Brian, you've mentioned a couple of resources and tools here, Gantt charts. Are they easy to get hold of? And is there an overall one page to be able to have as a project plan to keep you on track?
So yeah, Gantt charts are a little bit tricky to get used to, but there are templates available in Excel that you can use as a basic Gantt chart. If you just search for Gantt, it's with two T's at the end of the word, G-A-N-T-T. Search for that in the templates for a new Excel sheet, and you can use those, and they're fairly straightforward. If you want to dig into them in more depth, then there are a load of project management tools that are available. Some of them are free, some of them are expensive. So finding the one that suits you would be my recommendation there, because they are all a bit different and they're all a bit quirky. Thinking about one pages, so in the workshop we presented a project planning canvas, which is just a place to start with brainstorming. It gives space to start thinking about what the problem is that you're trying to solve or the improvement is that you're trying to make. They're not always problems, or what the goals are that you're trying to achieve through your project, and then how you might start to quantify those benefits for the community and who might receive them, and then things about perhaps what the breakdown of those tasks are and what those, what we call milestones might be, some of those key points through your project to see whether we're hitting the targets, who your team might be, and defining what the scope is for your project, as well as starting to map out of the risks or the costs to your project.
Brian, the Project Management Institute has generously offered to do a follow-up workshop for those who perhaps couldn't attend the conference for further information. But you do have a PMI mentoring program. Can you talk to us about that?
Sure, yeah. So the PMI Adelaide Mentoring Program is a way for the profession back to the community. And so what we try to do is we connect project managers in the local area with non-profit organisations, in this case the community centres, who need a little bit of guidance and advice on the project management aspect, that they might have some queries or questions so that they can be successful in their project. We have a whole range of volunteers that work in different sectors and have different types of experience. And so we try to match the mentor with the participant. And so we're very happy to be able to talk to Community Centres SA and try and establish that arrangement for community centres who may reach out and need a little bit more help.
That's amazing. They need all the help they can get, particularly on things like this. So thank you so much, Brian. Really appreciate you being on the podcast today.
Very welcome. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening and engaging with our community conversations today. Every week, we aim to bring you stories from far and wide, across South Australia and beyond. People who are game changers in our community, doing great work, plus general topics of community interest. If you have any subjects you think we should cover or any other feedback, please let us know at communitycentressa.asn.au. And feel free to share this podcast so we can engage more people in our next community conversation.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.